Welcome to Salty Moms Gone Sober. Whether you are a sober, curious, salty individual, can't seem to stay on the wagon, or have some successful sober time under your belt, our podcast creates a safe and comfortable space to let it all out. We can't guarantee anything but a good time and chill vibes. With a dash of humor, genuine language of the heart, and a salty truth throat punch here and there, connect with us on this unpredictable wave of sobriety. And when we find ourselves choking on a mouthful of saltiness, let's stop waiting to exhale and just spit some truth. Without further ado, your hosts, Alyssa Gruskin and Bree Juarez. Hello, salty friends. Bree here from Salty Moms Gone Sober. We're so happy you could join us this evening. We have a lovely guest joining us from Winchester, Virginia. Her name is Shelby Fanning. Without further ado, Miss Fanning, would you like to take over?
Sure. I started drinking, you know, my young teens, and learned very quickly that it made me a little bubblier and a little funnier. And I would get, you know, just like attention from my friends. They would just, you know, jokes about how I could outdrink everybody and just drink more than everyone around them, like even the guys. And it just became like part of my personality. And I just went with it. It was very progressive. Like it started off where I would just drink on the weekends, but I would get blackout drunk like every time. But I thought, oh, hey, this is like what you do when you're a teenager. Like, this is what we do. You drink a lot. And that's just how it goes. So I went away to school for just like a couple years at a community college, but I ended up going to live in Harrisonburg. And I just remember, like, even when I was at school, I mean, drinking started Thursday night and went through Sunday, right? And it was blackout all the time. There were incidents where I was out with my girlfriends and I would wake up in my bed and have absolutely no recollection of how I got there, how I got in my pajamas, like absolutely nothing. And that's kind of when it started, like those texts the next day telling me what I did the night before. And I very quickly hated that. That was the worst thing about drinking for me, was waking up not knowing what you did the next day. And that was pretty much it for me all the time. And that means like going to wineries on the weekends and stuff like that. But that's literally was my personality, going to wineries and breweries. Like if you had asked me what my hobbies were, I never had any, because it was drinking, because I didn't want to do anything else. My whole life I had planned and revolved around wineries and breweries and drinking and all that fun stuff. So my drinking became a lot. I was drinking every single day. And even at a very young, like 20, I guess like 22 and 23, I would be like, okay, I'm not going to drink tonight. And by 4 o'clock, the cycle starts over. You drink again, and then the next day you wake up and it just keeps going. You just want to keep drinking, and it just was this like horrible cycle. So I got pregnant with my first child. Super easy for me to stop drinking, because that's all I've ever wanted to be, was a mom. So I instantly quit drinking, and I got through my 9 months, but if I'm being 100% honest, I really wanted to breastfeed my child, and it was really hard. I didn't understand, obviously, all the things about breastfeeding, but my brain was telling me, like, you can't drink alcohol and breastfeed. So because it was really hard for me and for my daughter to, like, latch on, I instantly was just, like, within, like, 4 weeks, like, oh, I'm done. I'd rather drink, like, she can have formula. It's fine. And formula is fine, but that was kind of my thought process. Like, I made that decision, I know, based on alcohol. And the same thing, like, I was a functioning alcoholic during the day. I would go to work, I would take good care of my daughter, and then we'd put her to bed and I would start drinking again. And it just was like this vicious cycle. And I noticed it was worse. Like after I'd gone the 9 months and while I was pregnant, not drinking, once I picked it up again, it was just so bad. Like probably 8 to 10 beers a night, or wine, whatever I could drink at the time. I never really drank liquor. But then we got pregnant again. And like, meanwhile, I'm definitely like drinking alcohol while trying, but I would always find out really early when I was pregnant. And I got pregnant again, and I immediately stopped drinking. We lost that baby. And then that was not easy. You know, the first thing I wanted to do was drink. And I was obviously like a wreck. I remember the doctor being like, you know, it's gone. And I was like, are you positive? And I was literally asking her, are you positive? Because the way that I wanted to cope was to get drunk. But if there was any chance that the baby was okay and they were wrong somehow, I didn't want to drink because that's just not something I do. It was just like this whole thing. But of course I got drunk and then the drinking got worse. But I got pregnant with twins right after that again. So another 9 months went by, not drinking, totally fine with it. And I pumped for my twins for 7 months. But I had started drinking towards the end of that, but not enough because I just, you know, it's never enough. I just want more. But obviously I can't give them my breast milk like that. So at 7 months, I wasn't producing enough anyway, so I stopped again. And the drinking just became insane after that. Just being a mom of three kids under the age of three was so much. And just, it was my way to unwind at the end of the day from all of the chaos. Not that I didn't love it. I love being a mom. I love the crazy chaos and the messes and just all of it. You know, I totally embrace it. But at the time, I didn't know how to cope or work through any of that pressure or those stresses. And so what I did was I drank. And it got to the point where I was drinking at least 10 beers a night. It became every day I would wake up at 3 in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning with just that horrible anxiety, just awful anxiety, self-doom, like I can't do this anymore, like this isn't fair to my kids because I'm like hungover every day, so I'm not being the best mom that I can be either. And it just was awful, and it was just this cycle that just kept going and I could not break it. And I was at the point where my husband would get a case of beer and it wasn't him drinking, it was like me. And I'd be like, I would go into the refrigerator the next day and I'd be like, oh, we only have 12 beers for the night. Like, that's not enough. We have to get more. And I would I would make sure we got another case for that night. And, or we would start with like a bottle of wine and then we would drink beer. But it was like to the point where I was like almost hoarding the beers, even though he would drink like one or two for the whole night, you know, or not at all. And I would drink like 10. And I was passing out on the couch every night by like 8 or 9 o'clock because not only was I drinking a huge amount, but I drink it in a very short amount of time because everything I drink, coffee, water, alcohol, it's fast. So for me, it was like, you know, within 2 hours, I could crush like 8 to 10 beers. And it was so fast that my body, I would just pass out. I was starting to get violent when I was drinking with like my husband. I know I pushed my mom one time when we were at a beach house. And, you know, the last like 6 months probably of me drinking, I was really like, wow, like you're an alcoholic. Like this is so bad. But I couldn't like admit it to myself or to anyone else. And it's weird. Like I did like a drinking video with my husband on TikTok and we kind of went viral. And then ironically, I ended up on Sober TikTok. And I don't know if you guys know of like Your Sober Pal, but she was like one of the first people that I saw on TikTok. And I started following her because she kept coming up on my feed as well as other sober accounts. And I just found myself, wow, this is me. I relate to this so much, but I didn't want to like admit that I had to actually let go of alcohol forever because it just, I didn't want to. Like I wanted to be a person that could drink, but I just never could. I would tell myself all the time, okay, you're going to have two. And I would obsess like all night about only having two. It just was so hard. So I got to the point where, you know, I finally just got so sick of being sick and miserable and depressed. And it just got to the point where I didn't even want to be here anymore. And that was the scariest part for me because I'm sitting here with everything I've ever wanted, a husband, three beautiful children, my dogs, a house to live in. It's just, that's all I ever wanted out of life. For me to have been just sitting there, not even wanting to be here anymore was the biggest wake up call to me ever. It was just too much. And I got to the point and it still took me 2 weeks to actually like try to quit. After that, to admit to my husband, you know, I'm done because he can have one or two drinks and he's fine. You know, I would actually be like, why aren't you drinking with me? Like, drink more. And I'm sure like that was not fun for him. And it's just like, it's really hard to sometimes deal with like all the lost time I feel like I had. We come from a huge family. We're really into family stuff. And I just remember I stopped wanting to go to everything because I don't want people to see me drink. I didn't want people to see how much I drank. And then if I was stuck out past 6 o'clock, I wasn't able to put my kids to bed on time and I wasn't able to drink how I wanted to drink because no one knew that I drank that bad except for my husband. I mean, people definitely saw me black out and do horrible things and be a total jerk, but they thought that was just like, oh, it's just like a random night. You know, they had no idea that it was every night. And it got to the point where if we ran out of beer or wine, I was drinking the liquor my parents left here for when they came to visit. I don't even like liquor. I never have. I never really drank it, but I just wanted more. And it was just the obsession was more than I could handle. So it took me a long time. I was sober for 4 days, but I was really struggling. And I finally signed into an AA meeting. And my plan was to literally like keep my camera off, like mute myself, and just go to a couple meetings to get help through the first couple weeks and then be done. But I ended up learning that without it, especially in the beginning, that I just wasn't going to get sober. So I've been doing AA for the last 10 months, and that has helped me in so many ways. And still in early sobriety, I'm still learning my story. You remember more and more as you go.
When you first started drinking in high school, and there was kind of like the ongoing joke, like you could drink people under the table, drink guys under the table, things like that. Did you ever feel at that age that you were trying to overcompensate for something you were lacking? And when you found that identity, you were like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go with this identity. Was it like that? Or
I think it was more like insecurity almost. Like I had a lot of friends, but like, you know, just it wasn't super clicky. But I think it was just more so me, like being insecure with myself and also my body. And it just made me more comfortable around people once I started drinking, because it just kind of took that edge off for me. And then when like people thought it was like funny when I would drink more, or they'd be like, oh, you're so much fun. Like, you know, that to me just made me want to keep going because it made me more comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. And were you a blackout drinker from the beginning?
Not probably the very beginning, but not too long after I had started drinking, I really became like a blackout drinker. And it wouldn't happen every time, but it's just, you know, over the years, it would happen more and more and more, to when it was like almost every single night.
Would you say that eventually it got to a point where you kind of intended to drink to blackout because it was so normal?
I think at some point and to a degree, yes, because I remember specifically being so stressed out. Instead of just being like, I want a drink or I need a drink, it was like, I want to get shit-faced right now. You know, I want to be drunk. Yeah. Like I just, right, I need to not feel anything. And I would say that out loud. I would do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And you're not a liquor drinker. You're a beer and wine drinker. So.
Or seltzers. Would, yeah.
You were chugging that shit.
Yeah. I mean, everything I drink fast. Like I remember sitting in the beginning of my sobriety and I started drinking soda water. Like I think I drank like exactly cheers. No, I think I drank like 9 in a row. And my husband's like, I don't think that's what that's for. You're not going to get a buzz off of that. And I'm like, it's a habit. Like it's what I do.
Something that I just really love where you went, and it's so simple, but it is the fucking worst thing in the world, is waking up and seeing what you did the night before.
Yeah.
First of all, not remembering how the fuck you got home. At least you got home safely. Let's just put it that way. But that feeling of just, don't tell me, I don't want to know that much. And
yep.
But I do want to know, but I want to act like I kind of remember because I don't want to seem like I was like that wasted and like such a dick. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, we did it all out of fun, even though I don't remember what it was that I did. And I kind of want to know, but please stop telling me details, you know?
Exactly.
And usually when that happens a couple of times to people, and especially as they're getting older through their drinking, you know, usually that's incentive enough to say, let's pull back the reins here. Blacking out, first of all, is getting out of control. Second of all, I am treating people ways that I would never treat them in my right mind.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing things that you would never do in your right mind either. That were hurtful, probably, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did some of that wreckage look like?
So, like, one scenario I could tell you, I was like dating my husband at the time. We went out on a Halloween with a bunch of our like close friends, and we went to a winery like concert first. Of course, we were supposed to do that, and then we were supposed to go out with everybody that night. And I got trashed like at the winery concert. So I should have just been taken home and put to bed. But I probably insisted on going out, and I don't actually remember any of it. But what I was told was we went to a place called Topgolf. I think I spent the entire night flicking off my older brother, which, like, he definitely didn't deserve. I don't know all of it because I didn't even want to hear it. But I think the person who drove us was one of our high school friends. There was a bunch of brothers in that scenario. And I think I was literally talking shit about one of the brothers to his brother, drunk. And my husband's like in the car. My now brother-in-law is in the car in the front seat, like, because it's stuff that they had said to me. And then I was like repeating it. It was so bad. It's like, it's probably funny to them now, but it was not funny at the time. And I guess like my husband was like, shut up, shut up, shut up. And they started texting me, like, you're an idiot. I don't remember what I said or what I did back, but it was just bad. Like, I know I hurt people's feelings. Like, it was not nice things. And then I put my husband, his best friend, in a really uncomfortable position. I know I upset a lot of my friends. There was more to it that I wouldn't even listen because I couldn't. Like, I was just so cringe, and it was so bad. And I knew it was bad because we got in a huge fight when I kind of like woke up the next morning when he was like telling me everything. Like, it was so bad. And I just remember like crying because it was just horrible, you know? And my girlfriend, I like saw them the next day, and she's like, yeah, you kept asking so and so why his daughter's had dark circles under her eyes, which is horrible. Oh my gosh. So just that whole thing was really bad. And I know one time, this was towards the end when it was getting really bad. I had never really been a violent drunk, but I started to be. We were at the beach house. I don't know what happened. My mom and I got in an argument, and I all of a sudden just like got in her face and I pushed her. My kids were awake. I don't think they saw it, but they were awake. Thankfully, I just like had stopped drinking, and then I didn't drink the rest of the trip. And then I know at one point when we came home, my husband's like the sweetest person, and he's like usually pretty patient. And I was drunk, he wasn't, and I pushed him. You know, it was just like incidents like that. I just became violent. I would say things that were so mean, just do things that were just so out of character for me. It was bad. It was stuff like that that just towards the end, it just really pushed me to get help because I couldn't live like that anymore. Like, I just couldn't keep hurting the people that I loved, and it was bad at a point. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny you say cringe, because when you were speaking, I wrote down cringeworthy texts, never a good thing. You know, like, it just, no, you know, and then like, the disease progresses. Whatever is in us that's kind of prompting using alcohol or drugs as our solution to, I've had such a hard day, or, you know, I work so hard at doing this, and that, I deserve this, or previous insecurities never dealt with, never talked about. And that all just like keeps adding up and adding up. The disease just keeps progressing. And then eventually you're pushing your mom and pushing your husband unwarranted. They're not even, not that anyone deserves that, but I mean, it's not like they're trying to brawl, you know?
Yeah,
Like,
no.
your mom didn't have like her brass knuckles. Like, come on,
No.
bitch. Like, I take you,
Exactly.
daughter, you know? Like, she probably didn't even know you guys were in a fight. You're
Probably.
like
Poor
pushing her
woman.
down a dune or something, waterboarding her in the waves.
Yeah,
Like,
I know, right?
what happened after that? Like, what did your mom say? Because I know she had to say something to you.
So I actually don't know that day. It was like I had no recollection of it the next day. Even though I had sobered up that day, I had no recollection of like doing that to her the next day. And my husband told me, and I was just like bawling. But we were out when he told me, like, I'd left my kids with my parents, and like him and I went out, and he was telling me, and I was like, oh my God. So like, I of course called her and was like, I'm so sorry. Like, cause I did also, but of course I had liquor that night. And I remember being like, I can't mix alcohol like that. It makes me mean. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, God, you're, and I remember telling her like, you do so much for us. Like, I love you. Like, I remember just being so remorseful and, you know, she forgave me because it was out of character. Like, she had not seen that side of me. And so that was it. I mean, that's all it came.
Did anyone confront you about what it was that was making you so angry when this violence started?
No, occurring? Unless they did it when I don't remember. No one did. I mean, my husband was mad. I mean, when he was telling me the next day, he was not happy about it at all. It was totally me. Like, it was nothing anyone else did. It was me. So that part was like really rough learning about that. And honestly, it was something that they just like everybody kind of swept it under the rug once I apologized and everybody just moved on.
You're only suffering internal shame and remorse consequences, losing your relationship with your mom or your husband,
no,
losing himself or being like, if you don't quit drinking, we're separating. Like, there was never anything that.
No.
No. I mean, do you ever want to ask them why no one ever said anything to you?
Sometimes, yeah. It's
now
like
that you're
so I'm in
sober.
Yeah, and I'm in like I'm still like only a little over 10 months sober right now. So, I'm in AA, so I am working like the steps. So, yeah. I know that's part of it. I've kind of started making some amends and stuff like that. It's just I know it's a long process and like I'm okay with it being a long process and just kind of taking my time with it. But, you know, that is something I kind of want to ask because that's just one incident. And not that I got physical other times, but that's just one incident of me being a crazy drunk and blacking out.
We could sit here all night with our drunkalogs and I'm sure you have plenty until you can't remember anymore.
Yeah.
That like saying them out loud kind of sound like, oh, well, that couldn't cause that much damage. But like in reality, when it is happening, it's ruining other people's relationships. It's,
yeah.
I don't know, creating like, even though the people closest to you weren't saying anything to you, some of the other people who may have been joining in some of these things are, I don't know what's up with that Shelby girl. You know, I mean, and I mean, in reality, you'll fuck them in the end. You're not that girl. More of, oh, from what I've gotten to see, you know, like down to earth, a mom of three.
Yeah.
So probably wants to pull her hair out a million times a day, but then also wants to cry at the beautiful things that she sees her children do. And
yeah,
what was the turning point when you realized that you were an alcoholic? And because I know you had mentioned at the beginning for a while there, you said, oh, I'm an alcoholic. I should maybe, you know, think about stopping drinking. But it was kind of like a fleeting thought. It wasn't really like, I'm an alcoholic. I need help. I need to know what is going on here because I don't know. I'm out of control. I am literally out of control and I am insane because I'm doing the same thing over and over again. Literally waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, the bewitching hour, being like, holy shit. Like, I am letting everybody in my life down. I am letting myself down. I am just so full of shame. But you also had so much pressure.
Yeah.
On you. And 3 children under the age of 3,
yeah,
is not easy. No. No, nor would I recommend it, listeners. and until like until they're, you know, like in high school or something, or I don't even know. Then I don't know. One day it'll. How old are they now?
So the twins are 2, and my oldest is like almost 5.
Oh my God! How do you do it?
I don't know.
To find a silver lining, but
and I'm like running a business, like I have time
and you're
for
an entrepreneur.
Of it.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's and a lot.
Yeah, more power to you, Mama. So all of that pressure obviously contributed to that. Did you have a gift of desperation?
Yeah.
What did that look like for you?
I think it was kind of like a buildup because I was waking up in the middle of the night with like the shakes and the anxiety. And I had started to get these like hangovers where I was like literally convulsing, like sick, and I couldn't take care of my children. So my husband like had to, you know, and there was like scenarios like that. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And then, you know, I started to just feel like I could just like be done right now. I could just take this all away, like meaning end my life, I guess. Not that I really was at the point of like actually doing it, but it was just the thoughts alone.
Yeah, suicidal ideation.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that is scary because I'm like literally my biggest fear is dying. So like for me to start having that, those thoughts, I was like, wow, like this is really bad. And it was kind of around building up to New Year's. I remember being like, we were having some neighbors over that we were just like newly friends with. And I just really like hit it off with them. And so did my husband. And I really wanted to not make an ass of myself. And so they were coming over for New Year's and they have a little one. So they're like, we'll put her to sleep there. And I'm like, great, I'll set it all up for you. And like, we can all put the kids to bed and then stay up for New Year's. I was like, I cannot drink. I cannot drink. So I was like, literally for days, you have to one drink an hour, you know, like sitting here, like trying to like control my drinking, which has never worked for me. So I already kind of like knew, I think that's why I was having so much anxiety. Cause I was like, I've never been able to control it. And the fact that I'm freaking out this much about it, like it's just not going to end well. Well, it wasn't horrible, but I did end up blacking out, but I think I blacked out right when they left after midnight. But that hangover the next day, it was so bad. I was like convulsing. I felt like I had a fever. I mean, it was bad. And I couldn't get out of bed the whole day. So that was January 1st. So then we were having a late Christmas with my family because of we had COVID on Christmas. So I remember like my family was coming and I had like told my best friend I wanted to quit drinking. And she was like, oh, me too. She's like, I'm done. And I was like, oh, me too, except for like my family's coming today. So I'm going to drink. I literally drank 2 bottles of red wine by myself. Don't ask me why, but I did. And then I remember like same thing, January 3rd, like not a great hangover. And I remember my husband that night was like, do you want to split a beer with me? And so I didn't really want to tell him, you know, that I didn't want to drink anymore. And then we split a beer, like a craft beer. On January 4th, I woke up and was like, I really am done. Like, I really like am done. And I so badly wanted to believe it. You know, I so badly just was like, holding on to like that hope. And I remember calling my best friend like, you know, 2 days in, like, are we drinking? Like, and she's like, no, we're not. And I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, no, we're not drinking. And I'm like, okay. And then like I remember calling her the third day. And then it just didn't seem like it was as hard for her as it was for me. I know it was very hard for her, so I don't want to discredit that, but I think maybe she was trying to sound stronger for me. I remember just finally like, I need to go to a meeting. I have to go to a meet, like an AA meeting. I need help. Like I can't do this by myself. And so that's kind of just, I've not, thank God, knock on wood, I've not relapsed like since January 4th, I had quit. So.
So how did you know about AA?
So I have, my dad is one of five and I think 3 out of 5 of them are in AA. Dad was an alcoholic and his mom was as well. And she was in AA. I think she's been sober for a very long time. So just like stuff like that. I knew one of my uncles was pretty open about it. He's been sober for like 34 years this past Halloween. And then my aunt got sober. Like I used to drink with her actually. And I remember when she told me she got sober, I was like, why? Like I would never do that, you know? And she's been sober for 9 years. So, and then my other uncle as well. So like it's very much something that runs in my family.
Did the thought of never drinking again ever go through your head? Or was it like, I'm going to do this and then see if I can drink like a normal person?
I think that I had tried so many times to like control how much I was drinking. And I mean, I'm talking like over 10 years because I'm 31 now of just like having that internal battle with myself that I didn't intend to. Now, like I was like, if I quit, I need to quit and be done. But did the thought of never drinking again totally like make me so frustrated and like upset? Absolutely. And there are still moments when I'm like, God, like I'm like only 31 years old and I'm literally never going to drink again. And I'll have those thoughts sometimes. And that's usually when I'm like, oh, okay, you need a meeting or you like need to talk to somebody and just kind of reset yourself. And that happens. And, you know, it happened not that long ago. And I think like last weekend, I was just, oh my gosh, it was just a horrible day. Like my kids just weren't having it. You know, it's just a lot. And my husband got home and I was like, here you go. I got to get out of this house. And I'm not really someone who goes to in-person meetings, but I was like, I called him. I was like, I'm dropping off a pizza. Like, I got to go. Cause it was just, I was not in a good headspace. So that's still like, you know, I don't ever want to drink again because of how much better my life has got. I have so much energy. I have so much fun with my kids and my husband. Like I've lost 61 pounds, just so many things. You just won't regret it. You know what I mean? Like if you're on the fence of getting sober, just do it. Even though I'm only 10 months in, I've already seen how much better life can be. For me, it's just, I still sometimes get that nagging feeling like, God, you're really never going to drink again. But then I'm like, I see other people like drunk and I'm like, I'm so glad I don't drink anymore.
And I mean, that's why one day at a time is truly one of the mottos that we have to live by, you know,
yeah.
Because the thought of never drinking again is heavy and daunting.
Yeah.
And even when we know that like it's best for us or that's the plan, you know, to never drink again, thinking about that is so heavy. And so that's why that's so important. And I asked you that question the way that I asked you because there are so many people that I did it, you tried to do it. I mean, I'm sure I can't even imagine how many people like in the rooms or in some kind of recovery program. There are other, you know, recovery programs out there. Tried moderation management first. And what happened? You obsessed.
Yes.
You obsessed days before the event.
Yeah. Even more than you were already obsessed.
Then still ended up blacking out.
Yeah. Like, luckily I made it to the left, but I mean, I ended up telling her, like, now we're really good friends and she knows all about my journey. But yeah, I mean, I still blacked out. Like I had to watch the Ring doorbell to see when they left, like the next morning. So I could be like, okay, like, how did they leave? Were they mad? Like, what did I do?
That just takes me back. That was just an everyday thing. Who did I piss off? Who's mad at me? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this every day?
Yeah.
You were going through DTs in the morning. That's what got to. Mm-hmm. Did you ever take the morning drink?
Not in the end. No, I didn't. Because for me, I was like, you know, I think part of the way that I justified it was like that I don't drink during the day around my kids. And that's how I was justifying that I wasn't an alcoholic. Like, if that makes sense. I hated being drunk around them because not only like, is that dangerous in so many ways? But I also knew how easily I could pass out from drinking because of how fast I drink. So I didn't typically like to drink around them because I didn't want to be more tired and hungover than I already was.
But had you...
Yeah.
You said that it got to the point where you didn't even want to go to functions because you didn't want people to see how much you drank.
Yeah.
And it would interrupt your regular scheduled program of the life of Shelby and how many drinks she has and at what time. And it just was very inconvenient for your disease.
Yeah.
And so.
Very.
You, it got in the fucking way of your disease. Yeah,
exactly.
And you were like, okay, looks like I'm not going to be attending any function.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to drink in isolation now. I know I have a problem, but I know I'm not going to change it yet. Maybe ever.
Yeah.
But.
And I don't need other people telling me I have a problem.
Fuck no.
It's going to hide.
Fuck no. All that's going to do is cause you to waterboard more people in the ocean. No, I'm just kidding. She did not waterboard her mom, okay?
No, I did not.
She did not.
She is fine. We are friends. It's good.
We love each other, and I did not.
Exactly.
But I mean, you know, like you said that word. You said the isolation word, and that's what it progresses to the loneliness, the lonely state that you have to be in because you are, one is, or at least from my experience, full of shame and embarrassed that like, I have to drink this much. And just to black out.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Just to black out, because that was the point.
Yeah.
Towards the end, especially.
I mean, I even remember like in the very beginning of my sobriety, like I would be talking to like my sponsor or people in the program, or like I would share in a meeting, and it was never like, I don't think I have taken a drink yet, because it's never I want a drink. It's I want to get trashed. Like it's, there's no in between for me. There's no, I just want to drink, or I can just have one now and I'll be fine. It's like my brain instantly is like, no, I just want to get trashed. There's
you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, and that's different. Not everybody in sobriety and recovery knows that. You know,
yeah.
They think that they can, you know, eventually drink like a normal person. Or what's the harm if I just have one drink? Then that's when they learn that it's not one drink. But you knew that already. So that's,
well, because I don't even want one drink. Like whenever I want it, it's not that I want one. Like I don't even have that feeling. It's just that I want to get drunk.
Yeah. That really made you stick around, because there's a lot of bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like, first of all, people are super welcoming. And they're not really judgmental, you know, at least in all the experiences that I've had. And I think someone had said something in my first meeting. I had not like unmiked or unvideoed or anything, but they said, it's, you literally just take it one day at a time. And you take what you need and you leave the rest. And I don't know, something about it was just super comforting to me that I started to go back. But it was a very slow process for me. So I would do like one or two a week. It was very slow for me. It took time. And then I started to find my meetings, you know, where I recognized people and I started opening up some, and I got a sponsor. And it just, honestly, just hearing other people's stories and like how they overcome things. You know, I don't take everything that I hear in those meetings and take it to heart. I take what I need. And I don't know, for me, it was comforting, and it was kind of my escape from feeling alone in the whole getting sober process. It can be really, really lonely in the beginning, and it kind of helped me feel like I wasn't, you know, like those were my people. They've helped me so much. Like I think I was telling you earlier, like when I had that really rough day and I went to that in-person meeting, the meeting didn't even start, and I walked in the room and I just felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. Like that was where I was supposed to be. And I left that meeting and I was like so refreshed, and
you're,
I just like
goosebumps.
I just like felt so much better. And it was like on my 10 month that happened. And it was like, I just knew where I needed to be. And I just honestly very grateful for the program. And like, I have the greatest sponsor. She's so quirky. She's so funny. I just feel really lucky, you know, that I gave it a chance, because I know that's not always everybody's experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And when working with a sponsor, I mean, that's when a lot of the things we don't realize that were promoting our drinking habits existed.
Mm-hmm. You
know, why? What was it that we needed the solution for? And a lot of painful stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And learning about ourselves, time we can't get back. But then also learning that, hey, be easy on yourself, because you're here now.
Yeah.
And you have today that you're not going to drink,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to make the best day that you can. And if it's a shitty day, you're going to get a pizza for your family and drive your ass to an in-person meeting, you know?
Exactly.
Because life is life and shit happens still.
Yeah.
But it's a whole lot better than, you know, obsessing over this substance that we need to put in our body to make us even coherent. This is the point of why I'm putting this in me, is so I do not feel or see or remember anything.
Yes.
So there's that.
So recovery for me literally is like a total 360. I have the energy to keep up with my kids every day. I'm happy to be up and moving around with them. We get out of the house. We do a lot of things in our community with friends and other moms. And, you know, just my kids have the best time, and I have the best time watching them. I see things I never saw before. Like, I've driven over this mountain to my house a million times. And just the last like few months, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful, because I never really saw things. Like I never paid attention to anything because I didn't care. So just like also like I've gotten so healthy, like I feel amazing. My relationships are so much better. You know, I've learned not everything is everybody else, and I have a part in everything that that happens around me. I have a part in it all. And whether or not I want to believe it, there is something that I played in the situation or the struggles that I'm having. And even like, you know, with my husband and in my immediate family, like our relationships have gotten so much better because I'm able to be like, wow, you know what? Like, you're right. Like I did that. I'm so sorry. Like, I like totally just like dismissed what you were just telling me, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. But just like my relationships have gotten so much better. My relationships with my children, my appreciation for them. I feel like I'm not missing them growing up now. You know, I'm really like just in the thick of it, and it's hard and it's not easy all the time, but just, you know, I have my really hard days, but I wake up the next day and I'm like, you know what? I'm still sober and today's a new day. So like, let's go, because I'm not going back, you know? So for me, just recovery is amazing. You know, I've lost like 62 pounds. I just feel amazing, and it's hard, but I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah. So everybody, how many times did she say it's hard?
500 million.
Yes. Because when we quit drinking and drugging, our problems don't go away. What, do you have any like takeaways for?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if you're questioning whether you have a problem or not, you probably do have a problem. And I just think you just have to honestly take it one day at a time. There's so many resources out there. There's AA. And if, you know, that's not for you, there's so many recovery programs out there. And all you have to do is go on social media and type in sobriety or mom sobriety, and you will find so many resources out there. And just take it one day at a time. I mean, give it a try, and like give it a real try. And if you aren't happy, or if you don't see any improvement, then there's nothing stopping you from going back to the life you were living. You know, you have nothing to lose by trying to get sober. And just start with one day, and just get the help and reach out to somebody that you can trust. And honestly, like I just, you won't regret it. I've never met anybody that has regretted getting sober.
Keep on going, girlfriend.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you so much to all our listeners. If you like what you heard, tune in next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Salty Moms Gone Sober. Be there or be square. And in the meantime, stay salty, stay sober, stay sane. Peace.